Good evening and welcome to the BornAliveTruth.org teleconference and webcast. My name is David B. Wright. I would like to welcome you to this teleconference at this important time in American history. I would like to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to join this call at this important time for this important issue. We have an exciting call lined up for you tonight, and what I wanted to do is start with a few basic ground rules and understanding of how this call is working. For those of you who have not participated in a large-scale teleconference and webcast event, essentially the way we are set up is we have a whole bunch of phone lines that are all joined together so that we have people joining us from all over the United States dialing in and listening to this call. Now, because of the sheer numbers of people throughout the entire teleconference, your phone will be in listen-only mode. So if your dog is barking, if your child is crying in the background, or you're doing dishes, don't worry about it. It will not disturb anybody else, and you will be able to participate fully in the listening of the call, and we don't have to worry about it distracting others if there's noise. Also, this call is being recorded in its entirety, and so if for any reason you have to get off the call for a little bit, you can always come back later and listen to the recording. Now, for those of you who have chosen to listen in by streaming webcast, one of the great gifts of technology, we have the streaming web audio. The webcast player that you're listening on is a streaming technology that occasionally will have a 1 or 2 second delay in the midst of the teleconference. If that happens, don't worry, you're not missing anything. That's just the way the computer works, and that's just the way it makes sure it gets all of the audio. You won't miss a thing. Just be patient for that second or two. Tonight we have an important discussion, one that is very relevant at this point in time in our nation, and you're going to be hearing from two heroic women. These two women are Gianna Jessen, who survived an abortion as a baby, and Jill Stanek, a nurse who made a shocking discovery at the hospital where she worked. And during this conference call tonight, you're going to hear from these two women about their experiences and how they have tremendous implications for us as a nation at this moment in time. Jill and Gianna will share the history, the voting record of one specific candidate, one person who voted against legislation that would have protected the lives of newborn children in situations like Gianna. And then also you will learn not only what has happened historically, but what you can do to help make this situation right. So we will be talking through all of that, but I want to get us started right away and dive right into the content. And again, we're glad you're here. If you're dialing in or listening by webcast or listening to the audio after the fact, and you were intending to join the BornAliveTruth.org teleconference and webcast, you are in the right place. So let's start right away by introducing one of our presenters tonight, and she's somebody that is a hero of many of us on this phone call. And those of you who don't yet know her are going to be very touched and very inspired by her words here tonight. Her name is Gianna Jessen. I first met Gianna several years ago when I was working for an organization in College Station, Texas, that brought Gianna in to speak to share her testimony, and it was a tremendously moving event. Hundreds of people came out, and when she shared the shocking reality of what had happened to her as an infant, it awakened that audience to realize that abortion was not just a political issue, it was not just a theological or ideological issue, it was something that was very real and it. Gianna is a hero. She is a beautiful young woman. And Gianna, I want to start by asking you to go all the way back to the beginning of your life. You personally survived an abortion, and you were born alive. Tell us the story of what happened.
Well, my name, Gianna, actually means God is gracious. And I think that it is fitting that he allowed me to have that name because he has been so gracious to even give me my life and to sustain me all of these years so far. But 31 years ago, my biological parents were 17 and my biological mother was 7.5 months pregnant when she decided to go have a late-term saline abortion. And many people don't realize that burns a baby inside and out, and then she's to deliver a dead baby within 24 hours. And also, at this juncture, I like to mention that you can hear a heartbeat in the womb at around 3 weeks, and abortions are performed throughout all 9 months in the United States. And I think it's important, you know, for people to realize that this does happen. I mean, in any other area of life, when we hear a heartbeat, we know what that means. And so I just think it's appropriate to say, hey, you know, I was 7.5 months pregnant, but you can hear a heartbeat at 3 weeks. So she went in and she had this abortion, and to everyone's great shock and surprise, I didn't arrive dead, but I arrived alive in an abortion clinic in Los Angeles at 6 o'clock in the morning, April the 6th, 1977. Thank the Lord, the abortionist was not on duty the moment that I arrived in this world. Had he been there, he would have ended my life with strangulation, suffocation, or just leaving me there to die. However, a nurse called an ambulance, had me transferred to a hospital where I was placed in an incubator weighing 2 pounds. And they didn't expect me to live. And then after several months of just absolutely refusing to die, they finally concluded that I wanted to live. And so here we are today. after that, should I continue with the chronology of the story? Or did you
Absolutely. Share a little more. I mean, having met you and knowing you're not only alive, but you are fully alive and you make the most of every moment of your life, share a little more, Gianna, about, you know, what your life has held since that time, and just specifically, how much you have made of this life that was meant to be ended.
Well, I really do live to the fullest. I was later adopted and diagnosed as well with the gift of cerebral palsy, which was caused by the lack of oxygen to my brain while I was surviving this abortion. And so, you know, they didn't expect me to ever move or really function at all. And here we are. I've run 2 marathons on the ball of my feet and for hours and hours. I mean, the first one took me forever, 7.5 hours. The second one took me over 8 hours. But I just don't believe in just signing up for a mediocre life. I want to live well. I want to live and glorify God. And so that's what I attempt to do. And I consider it an absolute honor to stand up for the preservation of children and the true empowerment of women and men as well. I don't agree with how we speak of men and treat men in this culture. I think we are all valuable, and we are all worthy of love, and that's really important to me, to get that message out to people.
Now, Gianna, the other day I turned on the radio, and it was Sean Hannity on the radio, and he was interviewing you. And during that discussion, I remember him saying that, you know, how many of us frequently complain about the challenges and the problems in our life, and yet compared to the challenges that you have endured, they're nothing. And yet you are one of the most joyful people I know. And having survived an abortion, having been given this gift, as you describe it, a cerebral palsy, how do you find joy day in and day out instead of harboring resentment for what has happened?
Well, one thing that really I find very sad is this victim mentality that many of us in this culture seem to have subscribed to lately. I find that a victim mentality is so much more crippling than any disability could be. And, you know, if Christ were standing in front of me this evening and said, gee, because that's my nickname, gee, you know, do you want me to make you whole? I would say, you know, I'm going to be whole when I get home, and in the meantime, I just want to know what lessons I get to learn from this perspective. I need God, and that's how I'm not bitter. That's why I'm not angry, because really, bitterness and anger take our lives that we've been given, and I just don't want to give my life over to that. So I just find, and really, I find it appalling when I hear people say, you know, if this baby is disabled, we need to terminate this pregnancy. And I think to myself, gosh, you know, I wouldn't be disabled had I not survived an abortion. But if it is so arrogant, in my opinion, for a strong person to say to a weaker one, I will dictate what your value is. No. We can't do that. God has created us all and given us dignity and value and made us in his image. And so I just feel incredibly loved by God, I feel like I'm his girl. I feel like he just helps me every day to function well, and he fills me up with joy. You better believe it.
Well, you are a great example to the rest of us, and I just want you to know that you're an inspiration to me, and we'll definitely be talking more with you about some of the other things that have happened in current times that have relevance to your experience. But let me shift the conversation to our other guest who will be presenting tonight, and that is Jill Stanek. And many of you know Jill Stanek from her very popular blog, jillstanek.com. Many of you have met her or heard her speak at different events around the country. Jill is another one of my heroes, and I've just gotten to really know her over the last year personally. But Jill, you were a nurse before you were involved in all of the crazy things you're involved in now. And while a nurse, you made a shocking discovery at the hospital where you worked. What was that discovery? What happened?
Yes, in 1999, I was working at Christ Hospital on the southwest side of Chicago and thought that I was working at a place where I would be safe from abortion, but discovered in my capacity as a labor and delivery nurse after working in the department for a year that abortion was going on all around me, and these were late-term abortions, and more than that, the method of abortion that the hospital used called induced labor abortion sometimes resulted in babies being aborted alive, and if they were aborted alive, they were allowed to die without any medical intervention whatsoever. Now, this abortion procedure was different than the way that Gianna was aborted. For this procedure, the doctor just inserts a medication into the mother's birth canal up to the cervix, trying to force premature labor. They try to do this before they think that the baby will be viable, and sometimes they live. Christ Hospital admitted to the Chicago Sun-Times on March 31, 2001, that between 10 and 20% of babies aborted by this method survived for a time. And my experience at the hospital was that they survived anywhere from a few minutes to one lived almost as long as an 8-hour shift. And the gestational age that Christ Hospital aborted while I was there was anywhere from 19 weeks to 28 weeks into the beginning of the third trimester. I found out about this, and then one night it really came home to me when a nursing coworker was taking a little baby boy who had survived his abortion. He had Down syndrome, that's why he'd been aborted, to the soiled utility room to die because his parents didn't want to hold him and she didn't have time to hold him that night. And when she told me what she was doing, I couldn't bear the thought of him dying alone in the soiled utility room next to the biohazardous waste and soiled linens and the urinal. And so I cradled and rocked him for the 45 minutes that he lived. He was between 21 and 22 weeks old, about 7 to 8 weeks younger than Gianna was when she was aborted. He was about the size of my hand, weighed about 8 ounces. And he didn't move very much because he was using all of his energy attempting to breathe. And I remember toward the end of his life, I couldn't tell if he was alive or not unless I held him up against the light to see if I could see his heart beating through his chest wall because their skin is so thin at that age. And after he was pronounced dead, I folded his little arms across his chest. I tied them together with a little string. I wrapped him in a shroud, and I took him to the morgue where we took all of our other dead patients. I'd received him after it was too late to give him any help, even if he had been viable, but he wasn't. You've only got a 5 or 6 minute window when you can resuscitate anyone, including you or me. And he was also before the age of viability, which is about 23 weeks. Needless to say, that was a life-changing experience, and it instantly converted me into a pro-life activist, so that ever since that night, I admit I'm obsessed with abortion. I think about it all day long. I wake up thinking about it. I blog on it, I write on it, I speak on it, I go to bed thinking about it, and I even have nightmares about it constantly on my mind.
Now, Jill, when you experience this, you're in this soiled utility room with all the waste, and you're cradling and rocking this tiny little child as he perishes, did that for you, how did you feel, And what did you think in terms of how our nation allows this to happen?
Well, the feeling that I remember is of my being in a surreal situation. You know how that happens every now and then in life where you just can't believe that what you're experiencing is really happening. And that's what I thought at the time. And I also had the feeling that I was the only sane person in an insane world. How could I see this and no one else see around me how grotesque it was?
Now, one of the things that I've heard people try to discredit you is they've indicated they believe that you were this raving pro-life activist before all of this happened, and that completely biased you. So this really was what caused you to become a pro-life activist. Is that correct?
Yes, I was pro-life. That's why I went to Christ Hospital. I was very naive. I was not involved in the movement whatsoever. I had no idea, for instance, that there was such a thing as a pro-abortion church denomination, which Christ Hospital was affiliated with, too, the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America and United Church of Christ. I had no idea. That is the reason I stayed at the hospital, actually, after I went public 2 years until I was eventually fired, because the name of the hospital, and this was being done at a hospital named after Jesus Christ, and it just was blasphemous to me. So I was not an activist beforehand, and now I pick it. I do everything with everybody else that I possibly can do in the movement.
So this experience profoundly impacted you, but also, Jill, your experience there in that utility room with that child while dying has had some serious implications for us as an entire nation. Can you share what happened next after you made that discovery, after you started to blow the whistle? Take us through the chronology of what happened after that.
Well, sure. I privately appealed to the hospital to stop, and it wouldn't. So Concerned Women for America wrote a letter to the Illinois Attorney General, Jim Ryan, told him what was going on, and asked him to intercede. And after a year-long investigation, he determined that there was no law being broken by Christ Hospital. So on the national level, in 2000, a bill was introduced called the Born Alive Infants Protection Act, a very simple bill that simply defined that a legal person included any baby born alive, no matter what gestational age and no matter what reason for being there. And so in 2001, that same bill was introduced on the state level in Illinois. And this is where I ran into, for the first time, a no-name state senator named Barack Obama. He sat on a committee before which I testified, in fact, 3 years in a row when the bill kept failing and kept being reintroduced. He was on committees that I testified before. And I told him about my experience. And he questioned me during the committee hearing and said that he thought that this would impinge upon Roe v. Wade to declare little babies like Gianna, human beings, would eventually overturn Roe v. Wade. Now, mind you, he considers himself a constitutional scholar and, Harvard Law graduate. He voted no in committee, and a total of 4 times over the next 3 years voted no. More than that, he was the sole senator to speak against Born Alive on the Senate floor in 2001 and 2002. More than that, on his website where he brags about his pro-abortion bona fides, he has a quote from ABC News, Pam Sutherland, the Illinois Planned Parenthood CEO at that time, said that Barack Obama approached her, that is quoting the article, approached her to strategize to overturn, to kill the Born Alive bill and partial birth abortion bill that was being heard around the same time. So Barack Obama took a lead position in opposing Born Alive. Then, may I also add that in 2001 on the federal level, I met Gianna. She and I testified together for the Born Alive Act, and We were invited to the presidential signing of the Born Alive bill in Pittsburgh in 2002. So our relationship goes way back. In 2002, though, the bill did pass in the federal level, 98-0 in the U.S. Senate, unanimously in the U.S. Senate. And more than that, Senators Boxer and Kennedy spoke in favor of the Born Alive bill on the Senate floor. And NARAL, the pro-abortion group, went neutral on the bill. Back in Illinois in 2003, the identically worded version of Born Alive was introduced. A neutrality clause had been entered on the national level that said that this bill had nothing to do with Roe v. Wade or the status of preborn children. It was just about children born. So the identical bill was introduced in Illinois in 2003, and Barack Obama voted against it. He knew, because I testified, that this had passed overwhelmingly on the federal level and that NARAL had gone neutral on it, but he still voted against it. So he took a position to the left of anybody in the U.S. Senate and even NARAL on this bill. And then he went on for the next 4 years to misrepresent his vote that year. He repeatedly said that the two bills were not identical, that if they had been identical, he would have voted for the bill in Illinois. And it was only 4 weeks ago that National Right to Life uncovered his vote that was taken in 2003 that demonstrated with unequivocally that he voted against the identical bill that had passed on the federal level.
Wow. Now, Jill, let me ask you a question. I mean, you've laid out a lot of information, a lot of compelling evidence. Here's the thing that I just, the other day, my wife was talking to a friend who was talking to a nurse at a hospital near her, talking about your experience and what you've just shared. And this nurse said, oh, come on, there's no proof of that. That never happened. Barack Obama would never oppose something like that. You're making a lot of strong statements here, and my question, Jill, is can you back that up? Is there documentation to show this actually all happened?
Yes, this is irrefutable, David. If people go to bornalivetruth.org, that's bornalivetruth.org, every piece of documentation that I've just verbally said is listed. We link to Barack Obama's exact votes. We link to his testimony on the Senate floor. There's no way to get around what Barack Obama said or did during those 3 years. We also have other evidence on our site. For instance, Gianna's birth documentation. So if people question whether she was actually aborted, we've got that on the site. And it shows, you know, listed on her birth document that she was aborted by saline. So we have conclusive evidence on our site. Every question you might be able to think of is answered on our site just about.
Well, I really commend you for doing that, because I think that, you know, in a very heated time of the year when people are throwing all kinds of accusations around, having the documentation to back it up. And these are government records. These are actual votes. This is actual testimony of Senator Barack Obama while in Illinois, voting no in committee 4 times, being the sole senator to speak out against the Born Alive Act, having this quote that Barack Obama approached this Planned Parenthood executive to strategize to kill the Born Alive bill, taking the lead position in opposing Born Alive, and then even after an identical bill was passed unanimously 98-0 in the U.S. Senate, supported by some of the most liberal senators that there are, he still voted against it in the Illinois legislature. So my first thing I would tell everybody, as soon as you get off of this phone call or listen to this webcast or finish listening to this recording, go to bornalivetruth.org. Get the actual evidence. Don't take our words for it. Take the words of Barack Obama and let those speak for themselves, and then that is what you need to be able to share with other people at this important time. Jill, let me shift the conversation for a minute back to Gianna, if I could. Gianna, this is very personal to you, because while a senator in Illinois, Barack Obama voted against a law that would have protected the lives of other newborn children in the exact same situation that you survived. And now, in response to you bringing this truth out, he is running ads personally attacking you and calling you a liar. How does all of that make you feel?
I feel empowered, because I feel like the truth is getting out, which is the goal. and I know who I am. So someone can call me a liar, but I've got evidence. And I just feel that it is such an honor to just stand up for the truth, come what may. And so, I think it's amazing that he can call me a liar when his record speaks for itself. And I also just have to say this. Isn't Jill amazing? I love her. I'm so proud of her. I just have to say that.
She is amazing. And I think about how what she has done has been so instrumental in helping to protect others just like you, Gianna, and what a powerful team the two of you are together.
I just adore her, and I love to say it every chance I can.
That's great. Well, so Gianna, you feel like, okay, this person has attacked you personally, is calling you a liar, it's empowering you, you're sharing the truth. Jill, let's shift back to you. Right now, Gianna is being personally attacked after everything that she has been through in her life. What can people do to help make this situation right, to help defend Gianna, but also to help set the record straight on Senator Obama's voting record and make sure that everybody in America has the facts? What can people do tonight to make this right?
Well, first of all, backing up, Gianna is the first abortion survivor ever to make a national ad like she has done, calling Barack Obama into account for his vote. And if people want to see that ad, it is on bornalivetruth.org. We also received funding from a very generous benefactor to run this ad in New Mexico and Ohio for the last week, and have gotten a lot of feedback, positive, tons of feedback. The last time I checked, we also had it on YouTube, and at least 11 other people had also posted the same ad on YouTube, and it had gotten over 150,000 hits just in a couple of days, and I haven't checked it in the last couple of days. Now, Barack Obama, up until this point, has kept relatively quiet, and we drew him out last week when we began running our ad, is when he began running his attack ad against Gianna, and he insinuated that our ad was sleazy and vile. Those are words that were posted on his ad, and people can also link to his ad from going to bornalivetruth.org, and I get called all of this despicable lies. So to help set the record straight, we could really use help with donations in order to educate the American public on this. You know, this is half about informing the public about Barack Obama's record. But just as important to me is the other half, and that is the huge educational opportunity that we have right now to help the American people understand that abortion is legal throughout all 9 months of pregnancy for whatever reason, that people do survive abortions. Most of America has never even seen or heard an abortion survivor before this past week. What a shock this has been. And it gives people pause to think, people who are on the fence, people who have even considered themselves pro-choice, to reconsider by hearing about even the need for the Born Alive Infants Protection Act, that there is a time, it is right now, that certain people think that abortion survivors should be allowed to die. Or as Father Pavone says, we're now into the world of fourth trimester abortions. And this reminds me of during the partial birth abortion ban debate during the 1990s. The bill was introduced, passed, and then President Clinton kept vetoing, and it was very distressing to pro-lifers. But we didn't know that during that time, just the debate itself, people learning about the partial birth abortion procedure, the horrible procedure, were being converted, and the numbers of pro-lifers raised tremendously during the 1990s. And so I see this as a huge window of opportunity. It's going to close on Election Day with us being allowed to educate the American people on this issue.
Well, and it's not only just the advertisements that have run and the going and doing different things to get the word out. I just last night, I'm in a hotel room while traveling, and I turn on the television to Fox News for a minute, and there on Hannity and Combs, they were replaying Gianna's appearance earlier, and they were showing that, and then they were asking Karl Rove what he thought about this whole thing and the implications it has. I mean, this is getting out to millions of people, literally millions of people. So this is a historic opportunity to get out an important message. I think back to Gianna when you came and spoke in our little town in Texas, and we had 700 some odd people there, and that was double the number of people we'd ever had come because people were fascinated by your story and wanted to hear from you what happened. And I think how much everybody in America needs to hear your story, to see that abortion is not just an idea, it's not just something that is a debate, but it's actually living, breathing human beings, people like Gianna. And they need to hear from Jill what her real life experience was. You can't argue with these facts that you have on BornAliveTruth.org, and you can't argue with these two women's stories. So this really is a critical time, and we do need to help make this situation right. I'm reminded, one time my wife and I were giving a talk at a high school, and there was a poster up on the wall in this room, and the words on that poster really struck me because it said, "Stand up for what is right, even if you are standing alone." And I thought about that, and how many times in all of our lives, when push comes to shove, we have to make a decision, am I going to stand up for what's right, even if at times it may be difficult? And Jill, by standing up for what was right at Christ Hospital, you lost your job, you endured lots of challenges. Gianna, by standing up for what is right, people call you a liar, people say that what you're doing is sleazy and try to demean your existence. But the reality is, the two of you, regardless of whether anybody else is standing with you, have stood up for what is right. And because of that, you are heroes. You are people that all the rest of us can look to as an inspiration and as an example. But right now, particularly Gianna, as you are being personally attacked by Senator Barack Obama, I believe that we need to make sure that you are not standing alone. We need to make sure that everybody on this teleconference, everybody on this webcast is willing to stand with you as you stand up for what is right. And together, we can have a tremendous impact. And I'm going to be completely transparent and honest with you that Born Alive Truth needs your help, needs your financial help. And here we are in a difficult economic time, and all the newspaper headlines and the television stories are about all these financial crises. But there is nothing more important than the matter of life and death. This is what we are going to be measured as a society for in the eyes of history. I don't believe that history is going to look back on Gianna, Jill, me, or any of us listening on this call and measure us by our great technologies or our great accomplishments or what the stock market did or didn't do. I think the way we're going to be measured is how we responded to our greatest crisis. And abortion is that crisis. And the reality that children are surviving botched abortions or abortion procedures gone wrong, and they are being left to die and not live the way that Gianna did, the very fact that that has ever happened, and that somebody has cast votes repeatedly to oppose measures that would offer protection for those children, this is a time that we need to make sure is a defining time, and we need to stand together for what is right and make sure that Gianna and Jill are not left hanging, standing out there on their own. So your donation to Born Alive Truth will help this effort continue to reach out and make sure that the public is clearly and fully informed about Born Alive infant protections, and they are clearly informed about Senator Barack Obama's tragic, despicable record of voting against Born Alive legislation time and time again in the Illinois Senate. But your donation tonight will also help us defend Gianna against these vicious personal attacks that we've seen in the past few days and make sure that the truth is known and that her story gets out to listening ears so they know the reality as opposed to all the smear attacks that are coming her direction right now. So here's what I'm going to encourage each of you to do. The webpage where you are either listening to this streaming webcast or where you got the dial-in information to join this call, there's a big gray button on that page. It says, Donate Now, and it has a red arrow pointing to it, and it's in the bottom right corner of the screen. I'm looking at it right now. Click that button, and it will take you directly to BornAliveTruth.org. Now, alternatively, if you're listening to this recording and you're not on that page or you've downloaded the recording later, you can just type into your web browser, BornAliveTruth.org. On that page, you can learn more, get all of the background, the Born Alive timeline, Obama's record, frequently asked questions, fact checks, Gianna and Jill's stories that we've heard tonight. You can see newsroom press releases and media appearances in the news. You can learn all the different ways you can help. You can learn about this effort, and you can get contact information if you need to reach Born Alive Truth. But here's the most important thing, and this is why we are having this urgent conference call webcast tonight, is the green button there that says Donate Now. As Jill mentioned, this is a very critical time, and your help is needed to get the truth out so that people can know about Born Alive Infant Protection, so they can know about Senator Obama's record, so they can see the documentation for themselves and not rely on smear advertisements that are being run on television. So your donation right now on that BornAliveTruth.org website can help to get the truth out, can help to make a difference, and can help to make sure that everybody in America has the opportunity to learn the truth about what is happening and what these facts really are. Now, if you wish, if you don't want to make an online donation on the BornAliveTruth.org website, you can click on the Contact button, and that will give you contact information where you can contact the people at Born Alive Truth offline and make your donation this way. Now, I do need to remind everybody that donations given tonight to Born Alive Truth are not deductible as charitable contributions for federal income tax purposes. And also, because of the way that this effort has been structured, there are no restrictions on the amount that you can give. However, the IRS does require that we ask you and you provide us with your address, employer, and occupation when you donate. And Born Alive Truth would be actually subjected to fines and penalties by the IRS for not providing this information. But if tonight, if your heart has been stirred, as you've heard straight from the source, you've heard Gianna's story of surviving abortion, you've heard Jill's story of actually cradling that tiny baby and then blowing the whistle on these despicable procedures that are leaving children after an abortion to just die if the abortion doesn't finish the job, then you have an opportunity to help do something about it. Maybe for you it's $1,000, maybe it's $5,000, maybe it's $10,000, maybe there's somebody on the call because there are no restrictions on the amount to give. Maybe you can help make this entire campaign an enormous success to educate America, and maybe for you it's $100,000 or $250,000, or maybe it's $5 or $10. And frankly, no gift is too small, and Jill and Gianna, is it okay for me to say no gift is too large? Is that all right for me to say that? And Jill, I'm going to kind of put you on the spot here for a second. What do you really feel like you need right now to get this message out as effectively as you feel it needs to be gotten out? I mean, what do we, as this group of people that have been called together on this teleconference and webcast, what do you need to get the job done?
Well, it would be wonderful if we could get to $1 million, and that would really help us get on the way to educating the entire country about this. We have to pick and choose now where we educate, but the immediate goal would be $250,000, and that would help us to reach another important segment of the population, which Ian has added.
Okay, so I would just encourage everybody to really dig down deep, and if you came onto this call knowing that, yeah, I would be asked to help support this effort, and you came in with some kind of preconceived number, just for tonight, I'm going to ask you to get a big eraser in your mind and wipe that number off and start with a blank page, and then really seek to understand what you are being called to do and how you can help. You have been given gifts of time and talent, but also of treasure. All of us have been given gifts at varying different levels. Whatever way you can help financially tonight, you can make a tremendous impact. This is a decisive moment in history. This is an historic opportunity to get out the truth and educate people in ways we've never been able to do before. Just in the last few days, the debate has already raised to a new level, and you can help take it to a much, much higher level. So I hope you will act immediately and go to BornAliveTruth.org, click on the Donate button. I personally am making my donation to Born Alive Truth. As soon as this call is over, I would invite you to do the same. Now, before we wrap up, I wanted to give a chance for, we've had quite a few questions come in, and I want to thank everybody who submitted questions. They're still coming in throughout the call. We certainly don't have time to delve into every single one of them, but we had a few that seemed to be frequently asked questions, so I wanted to address these questions to Jill and to Gianna to just try to bring some clarity to some of the things that people have on their mind. And Jill, let me start with you. Alfonso in Orange County, California asks, is there an effective way to package this message to reach feminists? What would you say to Alfonso?
Yes, this issue transcends party affiliations and ideology. Even pro-choice people will be receptive to the fact that we are talking now not about abortion. We are talking about babies who have been born. And so you don't have to package this message. You just say it for what it is. You direct people to bornalivetruth.org and for corroboration if they just find it too incredible to believe. And I also want to mention that if people check out the newsroom section of bornalivetruth.org, go to In the News, you will not believe the volume of media attention. We're talking mainstream media attention that this issue has gotten just in the last month. You know, pro-lifers are always so disappointed that it seems that our issue gets pushed to the back burner. But it is on the front burner right now. For instance, when the Associated Press last week released its first article about our Gianna ad, it went over 3,000 news outlets across the world picked up that. And I just yesterday, a news organization from Japan wanted emailed us and wanted to know could they post a graphic of Gianna's ad. So people have no idea of the far-reaching ramifications of our discussion of this topic, how far it is going, and the implications, the possibility of having giving people second thoughts that might not even be on our side. This is something that transcends politics and feminism. We're talking about born babies here. What an opportunity we have.
And so this is a message that applies to everybody, feminists or other, and it can be certainly gotten out. And something you just said, Jill, really struck me, because what you've put into this effort so far, the financial investment from the generous benefactor that you mentioned, that was a small amount of money compared to what you're talking about wanting to be able to do. And that little bit of seed money has turned into trees full of fruit. When you look at the kind of coverage, I mean, all of those news outlets you just mentioned, the top coverage on these networks like Fox News and other places, you could not pay to get that kind of attention. And if it has had that kind of impact with that just initial seed of funding, imagine what will happen when people tonight really dig deep and say, what can I do? What kind of sacrifice can I make to use to seize the day of this historic opportunity and make a difference? Gianna, a question came in for you from Rebecca in Oakton, and she asks, does Gianna know who her biological mother was, and how does she feel towards her?
Yes, I do know who my biological mother is, and she came to an event that I was having over 2 years ago, unannounced. And we met then, and she's a very broken woman, but I felt very compelled as a Christian to say, you know, I am a Christian, and I forgive you. And I forgive you for what you've done, and I'm not angry, I'm not, you know, bitter. I just needed her to know that. And so, yes, we know who she is. And if I might just say, too, I know this doesn't have to do with the question, but I do just want to quickly ask people for the opportunity to continue on this extraordinary mission. I feel so honored to labor with Jill here, and it is effective. And I would just ask that you would hear that, and thank you for participating in this evening and holding us up, if you will, because we're willing to go. We are willing to go and speak the truth. But we do need help.
Well, we're running short on time, and we've gotten quite a few questions around a similar theme. So let me try to sum up just a couple of these that are examples of this, Jill, and I'll direct this one to you. P. Wolf in Naples, Florida, says, I keep hearing there was another law in place at the time in Illinois that should have protected these babies, though I'm sure it's probably a deflection by Obama. What's the story on that? A similar question, Arlen in West Baraboo says, the latest position of Obama is that Illinois law had already required medical treatment for infants surviving abortion. What's the reality about that?
Before I get to that, I want to mention that, you know, Gianna has been giving her speech since she was 14 years old. She's been testifying. I have been speaking about this for 7 or 8 years now. And I'm telling you that the number of interviews that I've taken this past month is greater than the number of interviews I've given in the past 8 years. I am, and I know Gianna is so in demand right now. She is giving at least 6 interviews a day, David, on this issue.
Wow.
I have been giving somewhere between 1 and 4 a day steadily for some weeks now. So every time we're on the radio talking about this issue, we're reaching 100,000 people, 1 million people. We have no idea. And so we're only given this opportunity because of BornAliveTruth.org and Gianna's willingness to come forward. It's very intriguing to radio show hosts. So wanted to mention that and just go on and mention that this is Barack Obama's latest excuse, saying that there was a law in place and that's why he didn't vote for Born Alive, although at the time he did not say that. BornAliveTruth.org, since this is becoming a bigger and bigger question, we're going to post talking points tomorrow. But just quickly, why did the bill pass? If he said it was true that there wasn't a law needed, why did it pass 8 months after he left the Illinois Senate? And it was passed by a Democrat-controlled House and Senate and signed by a very pro-abortion governor, Rod Blagojevich. Why did the Illinois Attorney General determine that there was no law being broken by Christ Hospital if there was a law in place? And finally, the abortion law that he's talking about had huge loopholes in it. Much of it has been enjoined. And the points to take away from about that abortion law are that it only covered viable babies that the abortionist determined was viable. The man or the woman who was invested in seeing this baby dead was the one that was making the call whether the born botch should live or not, and a second doctor should be called in. So these are points that I will reiterate tomorrow on BornAliveTruth.org, but those are just quickies.
Okay. Now, I want to tell everybody who's listening right now, as you're considering, you know, making a donation, and I hope that you feel compelled to not just make a donation, but to really stretch and dig deep to make a donation right now. I want to encourage you, I just went through, and while Jill was answering that question, I made my donation online. It's very, very simple. You fill out a few simple pieces of information by clicking on the button that says donate, or on the green donate now button on the BornAliveTruth.org website, and you fill out a few simple pieces of information, and you actually have two opportunities to give. One is a one-time donation, and one is a monthly sustaining donation for the life of this campaign. And, of course, there's not much time. It's very important that we have as much help for this effort right now as we possibly can. So it's very, very simple to do, and as you've heard, this is an opportunity to get a message out that is critical. At a critical time, as Jill just said, this message, she's had more interviews in the last few weeks than in the last 8 years. We need to seize this day. We need to put Jill and we need to put Gianna out on the front lines with everything they need to get this message out. You truly, the two of you, have struck a nerve when Senator Barack Obama has launched personal attacks responding to your efforts. And I want to commend you for that. And I just hope that everybody right now understands that we have an opportunity to stand up for what is right, and we are not going to stand alone, nor are Jill and Gianna. One day the history books of America will tell the story of all the great injustices that our nation allowed for a time before ending those. And that book will have chapters about slavery and segregation and every other great affront against human rights. But there will be a chapter in those history books about abortion, and that chapter will end with the story of how abortion ended. And I believe that those history books will tell the story of this year of 2008. I think they will talk about how this pivotal effort, this Born Alive Truth issue, raised the awareness in America and began a process of educating people, changing hearts and minds, and shifting the debate in our nation, and will play a pivotal role in helping to bring an end to abortion. Because our children and our grandchildren are going to be reading those history books, and they're going to come to you and I, and they're going to say, Mom, Dad, Grandma, Grandpa, what were you doing back in 2008, what were you doing at that pivotal moment when there was that short window of opportunity, just over 40 days of opportunity to make a difference? What did you do? And are you going to say, well, you know, I had all my money tied up in DirecTV so I could watch college football, or I had to buy my triple latte at Starbucks every single morning so I couldn't afford to put any money into that Born Alive Truth effort? Or are you going to be able to say, you know what, I dug deep, and I did everything I could to invest in that effort to educate people about Born Alive Infant Protections, to educate people about Senator Barack Obama's despicable record of voting against these protections? I did everything I could. And your children and grandchildren are going to swell up with pride, and you're going to see their eyes just fill with tears when they say, I'm so proud of you, because while everybody else was off busy doing their own thing, you were doing the right thing. This is that right thing. Go right now to bornalivetruth.org and click the Donate Now button and make that donation, or if you wish to do the donation offline, click the Contact Us button and get in touch with the Born Alive Truth folks, and they can help you to make that gift. Let's make a difference. Let's make an impact. And Jill, I'll let you have the last word. Any closing thoughts before we wrap up for the night?
Yeah, I just got an email from somebody listening who reminded me to tell people that we have a flyer on bornalivetruth.org. If people, it's a PDF. If people want to download it and print it out, they can distribute that to their friends and colleagues. And I finally wanted to thank not only everybody that's on this call and interested and concerned about this, but I want to really thank, of course, you, David. I know this is a very busy time for you, and I just appreciate your willingness to sacrifice tonight. But particularly Gianna, there's nothing in this for you, Gianna. Gianna has volunteered her time not only to cut the ad, but also now on a daily basis. She's kind of tied to her phone and willingness to do interviews on this volunteer basis. And I just really appreciate Gianna, because if not for her, our educational process just would not be as vast as it is right now.
Oh, thank you, Jill.
Gianna, any words that you would have for the people who are listening in tonight and who are getting behind Born Alive Truth right now?
Yeah, this is the United States of America. We do great things, we get stuff done, and we defend and preserve the lives of the most vulnerable. It's time. We don't have time to sit around and wonder. We got to do it now. And if you all would kindly just continue to support this, we're going to get a lot done. We're going to get a lot done, and we're going to change this country. And that's what I would say. And God bless everyone.
Gianna, thank you so much. Jill, thank you so much. Thank you, everybody, for calling in, for listening by webcast, by listening to this recording. And for those of you who are listening to this right now, I would encourage you to make this recording available to your friends. We're going to put it up onto the bornalivetruth.org website, assuming the whole recording went well. And it's something that you can share with your friends and family members and other people who need to know and begin this educational process. The most powerful form of advertising in the world is word of mouth. And so you're spreading the word about bornalivetruth.org. You're spreading the word about Jill and Gianna's story can help to make a tremendous difference. So thank you for taking the time to join us tonight on this teleconference and webcast. Thank you for taking action and donating tonight for this effort. And thanks for all you are doing to help ensure that the promise of our nation, the founding fathers identified the inalienable right given to us not by them, but by our founding fathers, the right to life. Thank you for ensuring that that promise will be a reality for people just like Gianna from here forward. Thank you for support. Thank you for being a part of the call. And good night, everybody. Bye-bye.